This is a new year, and I'm not going to say Happy New Year, but I do want to refer you to some fellowship I had. I'm going to check with Brother Don Mangold back in maybe 2020 or maybe 2021. Anyway, around the time of the beginning of this recent pandemic, where I was moved by the Lord to do a broadcast, a Zoom broadcast. I don't remember in those days it was Zoom or still the Skype, era, if you remember that. But it is recorded. It was recorded, thankfully. And it's about maybe 35, 37 minutes or so. So it's not that long. The link can be found in Living to Him. If you know livingtohim.com, something like that, you can find that there. And I don't know if someone is now kind of really can post it even on the chat here in this call. I'm not here to promote my speaking and that kind of thing, but apparently that word had a fair amount of impact on the listeners or the viewers. That the time has to do, I mean, that fellowship had to do with my burden and to a certain degree, my practice of ending a previous year in a proper way and starting a new one also in a proper way. And of course, by proper, I mean in a spiritual way and in a way in the presence of God and even through times. A specific, particular, and even lengthier time in the before the Lord's face. And I'm not going to get into that, but I'm very burdened about this, that this would become your practice, your individual personal practice. And of course, even collectively, in a way, for the churches to practice this. This is more than just, the church comes together, around midnight and pray through the New Year's Eve into the new year. The church in Irvine, we have done this for decades. We still do that, and that's a good thing. I do encourage the churches to do that. But this is more than that. That is a kind of a corporate time of prayer, thanksgiving, petition by the church. I still remember when we started this in Irvine, the church in Irvine, back in the day, I'm talking about in the 90s, right? We would pray actually from, say, 7:30 or, the typical meeting time, all the way through midnight. And we would do so even by shifts. The saints would sign up by shifts. So the husband and the wife would sign up for different shifts for babysitting reasons. We would have like maybe two shifts or three shifts until we passed the midnight hour. I remember those days very fondly. I don't remember what we pray for, but I do remember that what kind of practice was very satisfying, and I have to believe very pleasing to the Lord, indicating a high level of a seriousness and consecration on the part of the church to end a year and to begin a new year by prayer. But what I'm burdened here is really more the personal side of things. Dear brothers and sisters, I don't know whether you have done this just in this recent turn of the year. If you have not done so, we're still in halfway through the first month of 2026. It's not too late. And the so take a look, take a listen, or review that short talk that I gave, so many years ago. But excuse me, yesterday, was it yesterday? Yes, yesterday morning, I gave a word, a 1 hour talk to the full timers in this in North America. And there would be, my guess is 300, 400 of them, and I do that once a month. And these are the serving ones, right? Full timers on campus or whatever. And I'm exceedingly burdened for them along this line. So yesterday I spoke to them on a subject that Brother Lee covered back in the 50s, 1950s, there in Taiwan. And the title is The Spiritual Significance of a New Year. The Spiritual Significance of a New Year. Maybe you can do a word search and you can locate Brother Lee speaking on this subject. And some of the brothers here, you know where that it can be found, and you can furnish the dear saints with the source material. So you can just go right there and read what Brother Lee shared. But I put together an outline, actually a three-pager of an outline on that very subject. I'm not going to get into this again, but Brother Lee started out with from Genesis in God's recreation through the various light bearers giving forth the different degrees of light and how those light became essential for the existence of days and nights and months, the sun, the moon, right? And eventually the year, the seasons, and eventually the years. All these have to do with the movements of these light bearers and the earth being a planet that revolve around the sun and the excuse me and the moon around the earth, etc. All of this is to provide is to create the seasons and days and months and years. And the point is this: why, if God's creation is just one long day with no day, no night, no seasons, no months, no years, one long day, not only it will be boring, but it is not God's way to have that. Now, in the New Jerusalem, there will be no sun, there will be no light bearers. Why? Because we're fully in a new condition of the new creation, right? Where there is no night, there's no day, there's no year, there's no month. God in Christ would be the light, right, that shines constantly in that city. So that is a different time. I shouldn't say time. That is a different situation. Today we're not there yet. Today we're still in the process of renewal, of God's renewing work. God's work on the earth is a work of renewing, to bring forth from an old creation, and unfortunately, not just an old creation, but a fallen creation, right? A damaged creation. But God's intention is to bring forth a new creation from that old one. And so that process of bringing forth such a new creation is what we call renewal, right? A renewal. This is God's unique work today. corporately, even the new man that God created on the cross is still being renewed. Do you know that? In Colossians, the new man, even the new man, is being renewed. You see? Yes, he brought forth the new man through the cross with many peoples. He terminated the old man, etc., etc. But even that new man, in practicality, in reality, in actuality, still needs to be renewed. And of course, I need not say that renewing has a lot to do with our mind. Today, mainly, that part in us that needs to be renewed is our mentality, is our mind. Okay, anyway, then the days, the months, the years, well, what are they for? Of course, in the Old Testament, you have that. You know, collectively, they have a new beginning when they left Egypt, right? It's a new year, the Jewish New Year to today, right? Started at that time. And then even in the wilderness, there are many new beginnings. You know, when God presented to them the law, when they erected, right, that tabernacle, and began the service to God, and there were the new beginnings. And fast forward to the time when, after they were captive into Babylon, God brought his people back, right, to the land and to Jerusalem to rebuild that temple in that city. That is a new beginning, a new year, a fresh start for God's people. And so, so many of the feasts and other, according to the ordinances of God, all indicated that there are new beginnings. Even when they offer the offerings, you know, on the altar, the people, the priests, it's night and day. It's day by day. Every day or every night they have to add wood, am I right, to keep that fire burning. And all these things are just indicative of all these types of new beginnings. And every new beginnings means also a new ending, right? You cannot have a beginning without some ending. So, bottom line, brothers and sisters, new day, a new day. This morning is a new day, Saturday, yeah? A new month, a new season, a new year are actually opportunities that God arranged and ordained in order for us to have new beginnings. You know, life... Today, even the vegetable life, the plant life, and all needs these new seasons and new days and new year, etc., to grow, to mature, to bear fruit. And so we are the same. We are God's farm. And so... Today, Brothers and sisters, how are we renewed by the Lord? Of course, well, let me just even say that. Even our renewing is day by day. Isn't that in Corinthians? Our outer man is being consumed, right? But the inner man is renewed what?
Day by day.
It's not just some endless long thing. It's day by day, a day at a time. So every new day is a new opportunity. Every new day is should there should be a new work of God to renew us, to make us new as he is new, to do the work of renewing us, right? Day by day, day by day. So days are for that. Months are for that. Years are for that. God's work is seasonal. And so, dear saints, if we see this in a serious way, then we will treat these seasons and days and months and years very, very carefully. How we conclude a day and how we start a new day, how we conclude a season and start another one, how we conclude a year and start a new one. And so Brother Lee spoke quite much along that line, and eventually he gave us a lot of help in how do we do it. And the point is quite simple, and that is, since these seasons are the result of the movement of the light bearers, yeah, in relation to us, so our ending and beginning of seasons, days and years, likewise have to do with the light. It is the light, the spiritual light, God in Christ as the Spirit coming to us as light. That shining, that light is what causes us to have new beginnings. There's no other way to have new beginnings except through God's shining, God's light. And so why do we say we need to spend time with the Lord, lengthier time, longer time, at the end of a year and the beginning of another one? Personally, take the time, get away from everything. Husband and wife can switch off. Personally, individually, we all need a solid, sober, I would say more intense time in the Lord's presence to be shined upon. To be shined upon. Opening ourselves completely, to review, to rehearse, those are some of the words I use, to recall, to, I might even say, reevaluate, yeah, my last year. Now, this is not to look backwards, this is not to self-diagnose, right? This is not to introspect. No, it is opening our whole being before the Lord, spreading before him our last year. Lord, how did I do last year? The way I live, the way I serve, in what areas I fail you, in what areas I make progress, in what areas I was lacking, and in what area I offended you. Like item by item, in my marriage, in my family, in my personal life, in the church, in my service. Really, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of this. In the Lord's presence. And you don't just spend a couple of minutes. You cannot do that. It takes time. So that's why we need to dedicate and carve out some a longer period alone with the Lord and let the Lord touch. The Lord will touch. The Lord will speak. The Lord will meet you and I would say expose and point out, you see, so many things in us, both the bad and also of the good. Huh? What you say, really? You really? The Lord may appraise you, the Lord, which only the Lord can do, not yourself appraising yourself, and you know, no, the Lord may say in this point, well done. You got a pass. I mean, you passed the test. Do you think I'm too much, brothers? I mean, are you like this with the Lord? Are you this serious about your progress? You know, we talk, oh, we need to grow in life, we need to mature. How do you do that? Oh, I need to be renewed, I need to improve, I need to advance. How do you do that? Well, I would like to tell you such a practice helps. Even from day to day, even a new day, we need a new ending of the yesterday. Yesterday, I failed, but thank the Lord, there's a new day. The Lord has created an opportunity for me to advance, to have a change, to be renewed, you see? So through that kind of a time, you have a proper conclusion, even to the old year. You know, people practice a spring cleaning, right? You just go and clean the whole house from inside out. I think that's a good picture. You know, so many of us go from year to year, just kind of just slogging on and just move from one to another, dragging the past into the new year. There's no ending. There's no starting. It's just kind of like, just like that. It shouldn't be like that. There should be a spring cleaning. There should be a clearance of the past. Don't we have that term? You know, and that is not just for new believers. We all need constant clearance of the past year, yesterday, the past day. You know, and when the Lord point out these things and shine on us, what will we do? Automatically, of course, we will confess. We will repent, right? We will regret in the Lord's presence. You know, when Ezra let the Israel people out, you know, of Babylon back to Jerusalem. After they got there, the first thing is not, okay, we got here, let's go to work. No, the first thing he did was he declared a fast. How about that? He declared a time of repentance. How about that? That's how we should end the old year. That's how we should start anything. Then with that, there can be the beginning of a new stage in our life, to start the work afresh, to live our Christian life afresh, our family life, our marriage life, our in every respect. Now, you see, brothers, this is to be serious with the Lord. All right? So after you have that kind of dealing with the Lord, you begin to deal with the Lord about the new year. Lord, what about this new year? What do you want me to do? In these areas, what areas you want me to improve or adjust? I tell you, the Lord, I'll tell you, brothers, the light is not the problem. The light is always there. The face of Jesus is not the problem. It's always there. It's the veil that is on us. It's a heart unturned. It's not spending these moments with the Lord. It's not giving the Lord the time to shine, to speak. That's the problem. And so if we are open to the Lord and giving him the ground and giving him the time to speak to you, to shine on you, the Lord is very, very particular, very, very detailed in his visitation. I speak this from experience. The Lord will say, this year, you should do this. This year, you should do that. This year, you should improve in this. This year, you should not, you know, do that, etc., etc. Related to both my living and related both to my service. Then I tell you, with this exercise, I have a proper conclusion of the old stage and the proper start of a new one. You see, then even when you start this new year, 2026, it's not just, okay, I'm just rolling over into a new year. And this, my dear brothers and sisters, is not New Year resolution, huh? You know, they call it New Year resolution. This is not New Year resolution. That is just some self resolution. This is the Lord. This is God making this resolution, if you call it that, together with you. And we with him. Would you do that, dear saints? I tell you, if we would do this, a lot will change. A lot will change. And the Lord will have something to point to. Remember that in the beginning of the year? And we have something to point to. Man, do you remember what you said to the Lord? Do you remember what the Lord told you? You see? All that will function as a guide, as a reminder to us, to preserve us, right? And to keep us in the Lord's heart, in the Lord's will. All right. I didn't plan to say all of this for so long. But saints, if we don't have this and we just kind of keep going, you know, let's keep going, let's keep going. I'm just so concerned. That's why people either get bored, people get burned out, people said, there's no start, there's no end. No. We should have a lot of ending, a lot of starting all the time. This is God's way. This is God's way. So please do that. And no one can do this for you. And you cannot do this for anyone. The Lord help us. This is our cooperation with him. All right. So, yesterday I spoke to the full-timers about this, so maybe even though it's recorded, it's not so appropriate. But on the other hand, I think it's appropriate for the saints who are desirous to hear that kind of fellowship. I do have an outline on that based on brotherly speaking that I can make available to us. You were interested. I see in the chat now here that some source material is there. Yeah. Some brotherly speaking is so, you can say basic, you can say elementary, but on the other hand, it seems like we have, it has escaped us. The Lord help us in this matter. Build this up. Saints, do this, right? Paul says, practice these things that your progress may be made manifest. Don't you want visible progress this year, brothers and sisters? Don't you? I do. I'm not a young man, but I'm not done. I'm not done. I'm not resting on my laurels, so to speak. I'm learning from Paul to still forget what is behind. Am I right? To conclude a new year is the proper kind of forgetting, right? And to reach forward to what is before. That is the dealing with the Lord, is how should I reach out to what is before me in a practical way? It's not just a verse you just talk about, so speak about and spiritualize. This is a kind of practice that will make that happen, make that subjectively experiential, right? Okay, now, today, you know that my burden in these days is very much in the matter of the gospel, of outreach, of heralding the truth. Last time when I was with you last month, that's what I talked about. And I even talk much about this new year, talk about a new year, 2026, where corporately all the churches in the USA here will again take advantage of or leverage, if you will, this anniversary year of this country, 250th birthday, and other events. To what? To together as one man rise up to carry out God's commission to us, which is based on God's desire, right? 1 Timothy 2, the Savior God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. That double desire of the Savior God. How that today, even though we're small, we are weak as the Lord's recovery, we are the privileged people to have received the full gospel of God, the complete gospel of Jesus Christ, that no one else have. Well, maybe that's too much, too strong a statement, but largely what we have received as what we call the gospel, even the gospel of salvation, is complete. It is the gospel of Paul. Romans, you know, Romans is called Paul's gospel. And that is not just, you know, condemnation and justification. That is just the first step. Yes, we've been reconciled to God by the death of his son. There's a word, much more, the bigger part of Romans, we shall be saved in his life. Who talks about that? Being part of God's salvation for us. So today, all the Christians can do basically is still get saved, be a good person, and go to heaven. Go to heaven. That's it. Why? Because there's no idea of the much more salvation. God doesn't want us to go to heaven. God wants to sanctify us and save us and to make us him. You see, no idea. And we have it, small as we are, but what we possess, what we have inherited, is phenomenal. It is all of the riches in the Word of God, even in just in this matter of the gospel. And we need to preach this gospel, brothers and sisters. If we don't, who will? Who will? No one will. And then along with this gospel of salvation, there is the truth, the basic truth, the rudimentary truth, all the way to the deeper truth, even to the highest truth. I mean, today you open the recovery version, you just pick any footnotes, you go to the life studies, you go to the books, every page, every paragraph, it's just truth, the divine truth there. And who cares for this truth? Who knows this truth? Very, very few people. And here we are. We have seven feasts. We're all the time in these things. To us, it's common, right? We're swimming in it. We're bathing in it. And it has become all too common. But out there, there's not such a thing. There is a famine. Absolute famine. Do we care about that? No wonder Brother Lee said, I'm not here just to want to get increase, although we're burdened for this. I'm here to, this food, all this speaking, all this ministry is to feed all of God's children. We owe it, brothers. Brother Lee spoke it, but who will give it? He ministered it. Who will distribute it? He passed it on to us. Who will pass it forward? You tell me. Can you answer me that question, brothers and sisters? Well, all I can do is just have to do this. I have to do this. You have to do this. This is a great, great commission that only we can fulfill. Thank the Lord, all these are on pages, they're all published and so on. But it should not remain in Joseph's storehouse. It should not just remain on our bookshelves. It should go out. You know, why this recovery version is not just Brother Lee told us to use it. It is, in fact, this little, not so little, this recovery version embodies this ministry. And no wonder Brother Lee say, just go and just read it. Go and pick a footnote. And it just explained it. Why? Why? Because it's all there. It's all there. I mean, every day I'm just this little New Testament here. It's just changing my life, right? Right? Every day is regulating me. Every day is feeding me. Every day is... And yet, there are millions out there who have no idea. No idea. They're just waiting to go to heaven, you know, to meet St. Peter at the gate or whatever it is. Brothers and sisters, the recovery has to rise up. You see, my burden is not just this year. By the way, we'll have tell you something about Bibles for America. Right now, just by online subscription, meaning people just get online, find us by referrals or through organic search, they found us and they ordered a Bible, right? And we send them the Bible. Just that alone every year right now is over 200,000. Just that alone. Just that alone. Now we have ordered another 300,000 or however many new Bibles just for this year. All right. Let's call it another 250,000, whatever. I don't know exactly. Brothers and sisters, if there would be 5,000 saints in the recovery, 5,000 saints, that's loosely, let's say, a quarter of the saints in the church life. something like that. 5,000. This year, every week, these 5,000 people would give away one recovery version, one a week. At the end of this year, 52 weeks later, that would be 250,000 recovery version given. And there's no special events, there's no tabling, there's no going to the stadium, nothing. Just 5,000 faithful saints with a burden to labor in a steadfast way. It's not too much. Not too much. And you say, well, a lot of this Bible would be thrown in the trash. Yeah, let it be. Let it be thrown in the trash. But I tell you, a lot won't be thrown into the trash can. They will be passed along. They will be used. It is already the case to feed God's children. And amongst them, some will be the ones marked out by the Lord. Called by the Lord just like we were, to seek something more, and some of them will end up in the church life, right? Just like we did. You see? You see? And what about not just this year? Oh, 2026, we did it. We gave out 250,000 Bibles. Hallelujah. Now we go back to nothing. No, brothers. What about from now on every year, 250,000? That's not much. You know, this country has 340 million people. No wonder the Lord says, lift up your eyes. Dear saints, lift up your eyes and look at the field. The harvest is ripe. The fields are white. And there is, on top of this, a work of the Spirit with the younger generation right now in the USA and elsewhere. You know, even we just got a report from UK, England. The Bible sales is just like this. Bible sales. There is a move of the Lord in the younger generation to seek spirituality or God or the Bible or the Word. And everything is ready. And we have even a secular administration in our government these days that make this easier to do. You know, the practice of this religion, so to speak, the preaching of the gospel. It has been already happening for some years now. And these people, young people who got saved, many are seekers. Many are seekers. You see, oh, I don't know. This is just... I cannot sleep because of this. Anyway, dear brothers and sisters, I hope that you will have this realization. And so gospel preaching, and by the way, it's not just this Bible. We have these wonderful curated material that BFA put out. Not even counting the tracks, you know, the tracks, gospel tracks. You don't need many, many tracks. You just need one, right? If we can give away 250,000 Bibles, we need to give away millions of tracks. Yeah? The tracks will work more than you. You leave someone with a track, it will stay with them. It will talk to them. You know, I gave you the Pantone, the unpentance, right? You have that quote, the power of the tract. You know, in Panton, he's talking about in those days, the tracts is actually a booklet. It's not just a little sheet of paper. It's a booklet in those days. And they change lives. They move people. They do works of wonder. We can do that, you see. And out of all of this, I tell you, there will be the response. You know, many times the Lord do not bring people in through the front door, as we know, but through the side door, right? Through the back door. As we go out, as we honor the Lord and His word in this kind of way, the Lord will bring in the increase. The Lord will bring in the increase. Well, where am I going with all of this? You have to have the burden, dear saints. We cannot just live like the people in the world. Happy New Year, right? Just that's the world. We're not people of the world. We're different people. We're kingdom seekers. We're righteousness seekers. And we have a different meaning, yeah? We have a different purpose. See? I am burdened that the U.S. churches will have a revival. Isn't that how I started in NorCal in 2014? The three R's, remember that? Renewal. What else? Revival, whatever,
Restoration.
and restoration. The three R's. I remember it. And brotherly strong burden about a new revival. Brothers, we need a revival, dear saints. You know, we get so caught up with the day-to-day. Our head is always like this, looking at the stuff right in front of us. We're here just living in some anxiety for our lives and to make it in this and make it in that and you know, build up a good life for ourselves. Well, I'm not going to say these are wrong, right? But dear saints, what is the meaning? What is the meaning? When you get to my age, you think about that, those kind of things a little bit more. So I look back at my life. What's the meaning? What all the things I did, what does that mean? Do they have eternal value? You'll find a lot of the stuff do not have eternal value. This is temporary gratification. Oh, dear brothers and sisters. Then, I mean, you have to come to terms with that. Then you will live in a certain way. You will decide to live your life in a certain way. You know, I would even say, even not just that, you know, like the world, but I would say even we should spend a little less time being anxious of our own spirituality. You follow me? How am I doing? Am I growing? Or even am I an overcomer? Well, I'm not saying that's not a legitimate question. And I'm not saying that it's not a necessary pursuit. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, you know, the Lord says, who among you by being anxious can add a cubit to your stature? Remember that? The real Greek meaning is lengthen your life, you know, by years of how no one of us by our anxiety can grow and live longer. And the point there is the Father takes care of that. for the kingdom people. The Father takes care of that. He takes care of the lilies of the field. They clothe them, and the birds in the heaven, they get fed and charging us, and eventually with that exact word. But you seek first the kingdom of the heavens and his righteousness. That means the Father's righteousness. That means Christ lived out as our righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. If we take care of the kingdom matters, if we take care of God's need, these things will be added to you, including your spirituality, including your growth in life. You follow me? We need, brothers and sisters, just to live, right? A simple life with the Lord, am I right? Not worldly, not in sin, of course. But we also, in terms of our spiritual life, we just also live a simple life. We enjoy the Lord, am I right? We pursue him, we in the Word, and we fellowship. And of course, we're in the church. We live the church life, to build up the church. And all of this, these are wonderful, wonderful things that we should do. But brothers, there is a commission, brothers and sisters. There's a desire in our Savior God. And he needs us today. He needs us to co-labor with him. To what? To put out these good tidings of his. The gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of repentance, the gospel of life, all those gospels, the gospel of God's economy. All these things we are here to tell forth. We're here to proclaim. We're here to spread and propagate, right? And we're here also to bear fruit. We're here to shepherd people, especially the young, the new, the needy, right? To bring them to know the Lord, to bring them to grow in life, to bring them, to perfect them in the truth, all the things that we know and have, and to bring them into the full church life for the building of the Lord's body. That we should do. That we should do. All right. Now, there's an outline on the series of the small groups. I don't know what lesson it is, the number, but there is a an outline called laboring in fruit bearing in the group meetings. Laboring in fruit bearing in the group meetings. I hope this outline is transmitted to all the saints. Somehow, I think it's, yeah, it's on the screen. There's two pages here. I want to just say this, emphasize this, this word laboring. This word laboring. You know, we typically would look for methods, ways, means, techniques, and that's not wrong. There are ways to do things. There's the God-ordained way, right? There are means, and we need to explore, we need to study, we need to find the right way to carry out certain things. We should do that. And our dear brother Lee, senior co-worker, is an exemplary pattern in this regard. Never just doing things by default, always studying, always improving, always finding the way. That's why he spent 5 years in Taiwan to restudy the way to serve for the church and the saints to serve and meet. That's what he did and came up with the God-ordained way. What a discovery of things that are already in the Word. But, dear saints, I must tell you, it's not even just the way. It's the labor. You may not have the best way, but you apply yourself to the highest kind of labor, there will still be results and fruit. You may not drive a Tesla. You just have a ox cart, slow, clumsy, but you labor and you get from point A to point B eventually. A little later, you know, the spirit of our service and work has a lot to do with this matter of our attitude. Do you have an attitude that you are laboring or not? Makes a big difference. And I will tell you, this matter of the group, small groups, vital groups, home groups, whatever you call it, the building up of the groups, the 80% of the church life, yeah? 80% of the church life should be the groups. And all these things on the gospel preaching, on nourishing and cherishing, feeding the believers, of perfecting them into the truth, in their function, most of these are done in the context of the groups. Hence 80%. Now, how do you build that up? How do you build up those kind of groups? This way or that way, and we have a lot of these lessons just to show us the ways, you know, what not to do, what to do, etc., etc. But in the end, dear saints, it's a labor. That's what it is. It's an enterprise. You know, God's purpose, or rather the fulfillment of God's purpose, is the grandest enterprise in this universe. God is a laboring God. Do you know that? He doesn't stop. He's still, my Father worked, right? And I still work. And you, the disciples, you are going to do a greater work. It's work, brothers and sisters. I, you know, Brother Lee, I love what he says. He said, brothers, I don't know how to give opinions. I just know how to work. That line. Just, that's it. There are people who just love to opine, love to express their feelings, love to talk, love to have grandiose ideas and this or fancy ways. In the end, I will tell you, it's not that. In the end, it's your labor. So Paul, in his speaking, talked about, I labor. You know? He said, by the grace of God, I labor more abundantly than they all. In this matter, I'm not behind any of the other so-called apostles. I work harder than all of them by the grace of God. Then in the same chapter, of course, this is chapter 15, right, of 1 Corinthians. He said, be steadfast, right, telling us, the believers, and labor. And that labor will not be in vain. Will not be in vain. There will be a reward. There will be a result if you labor in resurrection, not by your natural life, of course, but in resurrection by another life. But nevertheless, it's a labor that will not be vain. One day there will be a result. There will be a reward. And then Paul would say, not only I labor, he said, I struggle. I struggle on your behalf through this inner dynamic operation that operates in me. I struggle. You know, the word struggle in Greek means wrestle, like wrestling, struggle. Paul only knew to work. Paul only knew to labor. Of course, according to God's economy, of course. But in terms of his service, he just knew how to labor. In my experience, dear saints, in building up a small group, in enterprising a small group, year after year after year, it's just a labor. Even for, you know, sisters to prepare some food, some tea. It's a labor. It's a labor. For us to sit down with this one and that one and just fellowship and talk and shepherd after everybody's gone until late in the night, that's labor. Week after week, still doing it, taking no break. It's a labor. It is labor. But dear brothers and sisters, without labor, there will not be fruit. There will not be fruit. So I treasure this word, laboring, in fruit bearing, in the group meetings. If you, dear saints, have this heart, huh? This attitude, this mindset of labor, I tell you, more than half the battle is won. I jump to the last point, Roman numeral here, before we have a break. The God ordained, Romans 7. The God ordained way is the laboring way. Surprise, it's not some fancy points, it's not magic. Okay? It's not some quickie, instant, whatever. The God ordained way, as wonderful as it is the laboring way. We need to visit people according to a schedule. You know, the small group is, I mentioned already, it's not just about a group meeting on Friday night or Saturday night or something. That is just a slice of the group life. The group life is 80% of our church life. So it's at other parts of the week, at other times. It includes visiting people, having appointments with people. Could be unbelievers, right? Could be saints, could be young new ones. whatever the people that is under this group, that is under the care of this group, part of this group, we need to visit them, meaning, I mean, that means it could be invite them for dinner, it could be Starbucks, it could be visiting them, whatever. It is to contact people. And it says here, according to a schedule. You know, dear brothers and sisters, if we don't schedule time, we won't have the time. You say, I want to do this, I want to do that, but you never schedule, it won't happen. It'll happen only when everything is done. Then you go do that. And usually you don't have time to do that because you're too tired. The schedule. Dear saints, how about we live a scheduled life for the Lord? And I don't mean rigidly, inflexibly, recklessly, you know, to be over spiritual. I mean, just build it up in a normal way as we owe the Lord, as we owe people. Schedule. And I'm here talking about the group, the groups. I'm here talking about all the functions of the group, including our time that we spend with people. This is not just 2 hours of, you know, group meeting, but the other times to preach the gospel, to contact people, to shepherd certain ones, whatever that a group would do. And we cover a lot of those things to restore a dormant one, right? We talk about a lot of things, but it's mainly about people. It's mainly a people's work. Endeavoring according to a schedule, endeavoring with faithfulness. Endeavor means you have to put forth effort. It's not easy, brothers. It's not easy. You have to have a mind for that. To give away a Bible a week, it's easy. But in another sense, it's not easy. You follow me? Because you need to pray for that. You need to be intentional about it, to look for the ones that you're burdened for or whatever. You have to endeavor even to give away one Bible a week. With faithfulness. Faithful, that means you just keep going. You stay the course. Endurance, of course, Paul's word, just endurance. I tell you, endurance make up for a lot of lack that we have. I'm not that smart. I'm not that, you know, capable, but I endure and I get things done. And much prayer. Much prayer. That itself is a labor, you know. Pray, we have a hymn, pray to labor with the Lord. Pray to labor with the Lord. Don't think prayer is not work. Prayer is work. It's our co-labor, actually, with the Lord. Paul says, we are co-laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, co-laborers together with God. That means God is a laborer, and we join his labor. Much prayer in order to reach a definite goal. We have a goal, and we, yes, we should have, we have a plan. God has a plan already, and now we're even given the way to cooperate with God's plan. But the key, dear saints, is to labor. Be steadfast. All right. I've seen saints. They don't have much, really. I mean, they couldn't speak so well. They couldn't, but they labor. They just keep at it. I've seen it. And then over time, months, years, you see the results. Here, there's just 4 points and I will stop. A, we need to plan and schedule our time so that we contact two or three individuals every week. Well, brotherly say two or three individuals. How about start with one? But even with one, we need to plan and schedule the time to do that. Dear brothers and sisters, it's about people. It's about people. There is no replacement, no substitute for time with people to care for them. B, we need to contact people directly and individually, laboring in the gospel 2 to 3 hours every week. It's hard to do. It's really hard to do. But how about you start with 1 hour? Just 1 hour. Maybe lunch break on a certain day of the week. Or whatever, Saturday morning. If we set our heart to it, there is time. If we redeem it. It depends where our heart is, our burden is. C, we must set a goal for our fruit bearing. Then, according to the goal, we should stretch forth with our full strength and pray before the Lord. We do need to set goals. That's why in the new year, we need some resolution. Not in that kind of natural way, but in a spiritual way. Lord, Lord, I must bring forth a fruit. The church here must bring forth so much fruit. Then you set out, you set, stretch forth your strength, and you pray, and you labor. It's not very glamorous, huh? It's not magical. But it's according to the divine principle. God labor very hard every day, at the end of which he would say, good. God is very scheduled. His whole 1 week creation is all scheduled, culminating with the creation of man. Very good, right? And then what? He took a break. That's the Sabbath. And man was born in that Sabbath, right? The first day of man is the last day of God, right? When God ends his labor, men enter. God work first and then rest. Men rest first and then work. All right, that's something else. D, our desperate need today is to practice the new group meetings in the new way. Without this, it is very difficult for us to go on by gaining the increase. All right.